We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WLGL, HD3, Philadelphia. Live from the beautiful Sonesta Philadelphia Rittenhouse Square, this is Dom Giordano's Feast of the Seven Fishes. Now, here's Dom Giordano.
Chris DeGaulle is here. We've been exchanging pocket square tips.
Merry Christmas, Dom.
Merry Christmas, Chris. Thanks for doing this. It's kind of our annual end-of-the-year review every year at the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Probably the best event of our entire calendar year. I mean, we have a lot of spectacular speaker series, and you know, we're blessed to be a radio station that's constantly busy. But this is how many years now?
Ninth year.
Wow. So this predated my arrival.
Yes. For you, is it the sixth year?
My very first year here was at, well, I don't know, did we say another place? It was the year that Ramsey was there, Positano Coast.
It was that first one. Okay,
that
yeah.
was my very first year, so I guess this yeah. would be sixth. I got here in 2011.
So. Yeah, so we've been through all sorts of things.
Yeah, there's been a few turnovers since then.
Yes, exactly. Guy Villanova, et cetera. Yes.
But there you stand.
Exactly
there
right.
you stayed.
So what's the big story of you this year, other than the fact that you're right about The Sound of Music versus Michael Cirio is not in attendance
tonight? Do you side
tonight.
With me on that?
I do side with you on that, and I'm not an enemy of Star Wars, as you
I'm
appear
not
to be.
No, I'm
but,
not. Yeah,
but you talk about something that's overdone. I mean, I saw the first Star Wars, and we saw the most recent, not this one, but the previous Star Wars, so... Yeah, it's okay.
You've seen them all?
No. Two out of all of those.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which,
how many
the first
are?
Two?
The first one and then the next to the last one. Not this recent one, but the prior to that.
Could you skip like that? I was told you had to see them sequentially.
Oh, my God. This isn't rocket science.
No,
I don't think so. Serio's
well,
a madman.
How many are there?
No.
They're like seven or eight or something?
Yeah, I think you can catch the plot pretty quickly, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I said that Star Wars for me is like the Harry Potter books. If you don't start reading one each year at least... Mm-hmm. Then you get in a hole, and then before you know it, people have consumed the whole series. I haven't started the first one, and they just say, hell with it.
You Why know? Not? What happened to you back in the day? How many years ago is that? You must have been in high school or something.
Star Wars, the very first one, was it came out the year I was born, 1977. Okay. It's 40 years old.
Well, it was pretty hard to see the first one. You have an excuse.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the argument, was everybody was saying about how much older Sound of Music was. I said, not really. I think it predates Star Wars by 10 years, 10,
yeah,
15
not,
years.
It was on, too,
just last night.
Competing programming with Christmas Story Live. Boy, did I take some hits for saying, Ro liked it, liked some musical stuff.
Well, I'll say this. I don't remember if it was NBC. NBC remade the live musical version of The Sound of Music a couple of years ago with Carrie Underwood.
Right.
That was a mess. I mean, an unmitigated disaster.
I don't see Carrie Underwood as
no.
Joey Andrews.
I don't mind watching on mute, but boy, when you turn the sound up, that's a different matter.
So what's the big story for you this year, Chris?
Well, maybe it's an easy escape line to throw his name, but Donald Trump. I mean, I think I've been pretty candid with you, and I have spent most of this year, and I've told folks on the show, I've spent this last year trying to process what Trump's election meant, really meant.
Right.
Not in the kind of the cliched way, but in the way that people that listen to you and me in this radio station took a path with him in this election that I didn't read properly. Mm-hmm. I understood it, but I didn't... No, I saw it, but I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
When I began to really understand that this was about not ideology, it was not about conservatism, it was about something bigger, more profound, more of a, as I say, a 30,000-foot view for voters. Once I understood that and started looking at Trump through that prism, it changed every story, everything I talked about this year. I no longer looked through what I'd always looked through, the prism of conservatism. As I understand his supporters, that's not what they want at this hour. And I tend to now, particularly with this Mueller stuff...
Mm-hmm.
I see the swamp. It is real. It's very real. It's very much alive. The media, just mm-hmm. a repugnant bunch, scandal-ridden. And I think to myself, he may very well be a figure in history at this time that may not be a policy wonk, though you could make a really credible case, and many of the never-Trumpers even are, that he's had a very successful legislative year. But setting aside his legislative objectives and agenda, this is the only guy, maybe, in the Republican Party that at this time in history could have faced down what he's faced down and stayed standing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I was a Ted Cruz guy, well, Rain guy for sure. A lot of different reasons, but then a Ted Cruz guy. I could see Ted Cruz is going to have a presidential problem to ever arrive. Wouldn't even call it likability, but there is an element that is unmistakable that the presidents, most presidents have, and Trump has it.
I adored Ted Cruz. I voted for Ted Cruz in the primary. And then when I saw that Pennsylvania Republicans voted, some paltry percentage for him, that was when I really woke up and realized, wow, I've misunderstood something happening.
Yeah, have you thought about this? Trump is doing a lot of conservative things without branding it. Maybe that's the way we have to look at it.
Yep, I think so. And he's also he's very pragmatic. You know, when other people would get angry with him for saying Chuck and Nancy and inviting Chuck and Nancy over,
right?
I still don't know. I don't know if the tweets, if the Chuck and Nancy meetings, I don't know if it's part of a broader strategy or if it's just literally the shoot from the hip. Say what you feel, tell it like you see it every day, kind of mentality that drives him that just makes people's heads explode. Whatever it is, whether it's strategic or just shoot from the hip, boy, it's working. I don't know how you can. I mean, think of what's happening to Mueller right now. I just read a poll today that 54% of Americans now doubt the integrity of Mueller being objective.
Mm-hmm.
Who else could have hammered that?
I'm very surprised because Mueller didn't strike me going into this that he wouldn't be. But now with the people around him, the stuff he's put on his staff, it's pretty obvious. This is very questionable stuff. So does he fire Mueller?
No, but I think about other presidents that I would have maybe supported. I think about Mitt Romney. I think about Ted Cruz had he won. I think about any of those Republican nominees, and I think, what if they were up against Mueller right now? Would any of them been able to hold a little presser and say something like, you know, people are very angry at the FBI right now? They wouldn't. They'd be deferential. They'd haw.
Right.
The left is panicked that Mueller may go and that people are starting to mistrust Mueller. It's remarkable. I don't think there's any. I'm serious when I say I don't think there is anyone in modern politics that could achieve what Trump has achieved in terms of messaging. And for that reason, I just don't see anything bigger in this last year than him. I really don't.
Yeah, and now we're going to see tomorrow, finally. The only problem I had is nothing's been codified. Another president can come in and take it away. Now with the tax cut, we're finally seeing something done. And it appears that the Senate is actually going to do it.
They're
going to
do it. Collins just signed off today. In fact, I noticed about an hour on Twitter before I came here, Collins officially confirmed she will support it. Pence is canceling his trip to the Middle East so he can be the tiebreaker. Of course, McCain's not there, and I forget who the other one is.
Ted Cochran.
Is he in the hospital, too?
He had some kind of skin surgery. My God, these guys.
No, it'd be nice if we didn't have octogenarians as senators, but ill octogenarians at that. I mean, not that it's not their fault they're ill. But maybe could we cap it at 75, maybe? I mean, you need to be able to walk on your own to be a senator.
Please tell our listeners now. They may not hear what you call Susan Collins.
Oh, the warbler. I love that. Anytime you hear her singing, that's what I say. Anytime you hear Susan Collins singing, it's like when Bob Casey speaks. It's, you know, he pops out every 6 months. He sees his shadow. It's six more months of terrible legislation, and then he goes away. There aren't many people in the Senate I enjoy as much as the warbler. They have her on a lot.
Oh, yeah.
As some kind of weather vane.
Exactly.
And it just drives me nuts.
Now, let's turn to the local level. I was not surprised, but I didn't get a lot of callers from Philadelphia, per se. And I try to tell people this. People still care about Philadelphia. I do this Italian-American event every year for Roe in Ocean City. These are all expatriates. They moved to the shore to get away from Jim Kenney. First thing, it's a Friday night. It's a big social event. They know who I am. They come over, like 20 of them in a row. Bulletproof glass. We're in Ocean City. This has struck a chord in ways that a lot of the other shenanigans have not in Philadelphia.
You know, I must tell you, I don't understand this one in particular because of the group that opposes it so vociferously, and that's the Asian American business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Asian American business owners. Now, I thought we had a councilwoman named Helen Gim,
right,
who literally attacked a food truck owner over what she deemed...
That's when you first became aware of her, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Racist and bigoted and anti-Asian. Now, it turned out they were Asian people that owned the Asian food truck, which made it hilarious. But this is supposedly a champion of Asian Americans, and she voted against them, even when they showed up and said, you're going to hurt our business.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was the compassionate, touchy-feely, welcoming to all, amnesty city of Philadelphia. And this city council voted like, well, you'd think they talk about the Republicans voting.
Yeah, and two Republicans even voted for it.
Yeah, thankfully David O is sane.
Yeah.
But he was one of only, what, three?
Yeah, yeah. So I've gone out on the tour. These are not good places. But to tell a person, we're going to put a gun to your head to drive you out of business is remarkable.
And the thing is, there are, as you know, in this city, I've stopped at some of them, you know, late at night when we've been in the city doing various things. I've stopped at a McDonald's here in this city that has plexiglass.
Mm-hmm.
Should they take theirs down?
Right,
What is it about the plexiglass that makes the business inherently bad? I mean, if you want to say they're not properly selling liquor, if you want to say they're not properly securing their perimeter, okay, let's talk about that. But there's something, I don't know the edge to it. I don't know what it is, but I feel like there's something subversive to it that people like Cindy Bass aren't being honest about.
She was on my show, Indignity. This is the age-old battle of these Asian Americans in black neighborhoods and the manner in which they go about their way of dispensing and doing their business.
I see.
The resentment, how do they have a store, we don't. That's
okay.
That's the backstory. That's why they're going.
And isn't that always interesting with the left? They spend so much of their time highlighting the you know, the fractures within, the balkanizing, the warring factions. They're always talking about one another in terms of, you know, Hispanic, illegal, black, Asian. But then when their interests become divergent, boy, that's an interesting street fight, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And the people that I went through with the stop-and-go tour and all didn't speak English to a class. I don't know if they're here legally, what the deal is. You would think they'd be embraced, but there's a higher calling here.
That's right. No, now, we'll let people use any toilet they want in town, but the Asian American businesses can't have plexiglass.
You were pivoting to the potties, aptly named by you in the morning. So what do you look forward to in 2018? What are we doing on the Chris DeGaulle Show? What do we look forward to?
Well, look, this year is going to be the year we decide, I think, or whether we forecast, if you even dare, what really the fall brings. I hate to look that far ahead, but I'm already wondering, what does the House look like next year? Can these Collar County Republicans, you talk to Costello and Meehan a lot, I've kind of lost interest, frankly. I just don't.
Hey, Pat Meehan, you can call him right now. He's out here at Seven Fishes. He's well lubricated. Come on, give him a call.
What a delight that Dalen Leach story is, huh?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
What a wonderful. Well, he says he's suspending his challenge to Meehan.
I see I have a talk radio interest here. I have that guy on over the years. No better talk radio guest. My God.
But what? That's a new Franken thing. I'm suspending. I'll be leaving in days.
I bet there were conversations on those lines. And I can't tell if he's leaving the congressional thing or the Senate. Seems to be just a congressional right now, maybe.
100% he's not leaving the Senate.
Right.
He's ignoring Wolf. Wolf is demanding he resign. He's not resigning. And now the Democrats are saying Franken should stay.
Right.
So this whole thing about the Democrats are taking the moral high ground and they're the party of purity, that's done. They're begging Franken to stay. Leach isn't leaving. And as long as those guys hang around, they can't lay a glove on Donald Trump. As much as they want to, those guys are going to kill their ability to touch Trump.
All right, so 2018 election, I see Republicans pulling it together, particularly with the tax cut. They'll lose a few seats. They're not going to lose the House.
I think they gain in the Senate, as a matter of fact.
In the Senate, yeah, I could see that too.
Which would be big if they do. They'll hang on to the House by a whisker, and if they gain in the Senate, I mean, you could be really talking about some big things. You just had the Dow hit a record again today. I mean, this economy is roaring. They're now saying 4%. It's just stratospheric. If you've got a 401k right now, if you've got investments right now, I don't know how you can deny what Trump's done. I heard liberals in the first few months who hated Donald Trump's guts. They would even say, I didn't vote for the guy, I hate the guy, but my 401k looks pretty good.
Well, that was a Clinton test.
Yeah.
That was it. 401k, good. Everything else doesn't matter.
That's it. And whether you can credit him or not, if people are feeling good about their wallet, I think quietly they'll show up like they did before and say, let's keep him around.
Exactly. Hey, Chris, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
thanks
Tom.
For doing this every year. Thanks for coming out
to
the 9th annual feast.
Thanks for having me.
All right. There's Chris DeGaulle here on Talk Radio 1210, kicking off as we do every year. Coming up, Jeffrey Lord, our honored guest tonight. He'll be with us to take you inside. What's it like at Christmas time in the Reagan White House, or in any White House? Jeffrey, welcome back. Thanks for coming all the way down from Camp Hill to join us.
Absolutely, Dom. It's great to be here.
Now, your listeners know that have been following this closely. You were just I wrote down in one note, I went back and looked it up. You actually called Trump the MLK of healthcare. I remember that night when that happened.
I can still see Simone Sanders sitting there, oh, Jeffrey.
Do these things just come to you in the heat of it, or do you prepare something like this?
No, I know
it's going to be pretty intense when you say something like that.
I do prepare, and it's not my objective to be, intense. It's just I had read, years ago, Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail, in which he talks about the necessity of bringing a situation to crisis so that you get the other side to the table to negotiate.
Right.
And the day before, the Wall Street Journal had a long article on Trump and healthcare, in which he said that he was considering not paying the Obamacare premiums. And there were all these comments in there that this would bring the health situation to a crisis. So, I said, he's the Martin Luther King of healthcare. And, of course, they all pounced.
What was it like on election night when this... Were you on live when it was going on? You were on a panel of eight or whatever. And Van Jones, who's a friend of yours through this, had a meltdown. I mean, that was pretty intense. I don't know if that was 2 o'clock in the morning or not. I still think it was surprising, given that Pennsylvania maybe better than I know the Southeast. And I still was never convinced that any Republican was ever going to win Pennsylvania again, just because of Philadelphia and everything else. And that was the turnout for Trump in the hinterlands was unbelievable.
Right. I was convinced from the get-go that he could do it. And one of the things that formed my thinking on this, in 1976, I went to the Republican convention as a young staff member for the Pennsylvania Republican chairman, who was also the Senate Republican leader at the time. And that was the Ford-Reagan battle. Mm-hmm. And I remember my Republican elders telling me that we had to support Gerald Ford because only Gerald Ford could carry Pennsylvania. Reagan could never do it. Mm-hmm. Well, we get to the fall campaign, and Ford loses both Pennsylvania and the election. 4 years later, it was sort of the same argument with George H.W. Bush. Reagan wins this time, but he runs away with Pennsylvania. And 4 years later, does it again. And 4 years
after that's Ronald Reagan, though. It's changed a lot.
But my point was that he had this unique ability to appeal to working class, blue collar Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I thought Donald Trump had exactly that appeal here. And I tell the story of the weekend or so before the election, or 2 weekends before the election. It was Halloween. And I didn't have to work on Saturday. So I plopped my 98-year-old mom in the car to go get a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And we drive out into the Pennsylvania countryside to this farm stand. And suddenly I realize everywhere I went, there were Trump signs all over the place, sometimes hand-painted on the side of a barn. So I get to New York the following Monday, and I tell this story. And my colleagues are saying, oh, Jeff, the data. And I said, listen, I'm just telling you, when you see these signs all over the place, they're not like in the middle of a highway. They're in people's lawns, which means that the owner of the house had to have enough interest to go get the sign and put it up.
But how about Michigan, Wisconsin, though? Pennsylvania, so you had a sense of that. I knew when we suddenly hear on Sunday that Trump's gone there and Hillary might go there, too.
Right.
What the heck is up? Michigan? Come on.
Right. Well, the same kind of thing. I mean, Michigan is not that unlike Pennsylvania. A lot of working class folks. And as a matter of fact, in 1980, it was, I forget the name of the county, but it was a county in Michigan.
Might
have been Macomb County that was considered the bellwether here for all these Reagan Democrats.
Exactly.
And I just felt that he was, I would go to the rallies and I would see the folks there, thousands and thousands of them. Thousands of them couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all folks like this. And they would come up, they'd recognize me from TV. They'd come up and they'd say, I haven't voted in an election in years, but I'm coming out to vote for Donald Trump.
Take us inside. You're in Harrisburg, I guess, one of these Trump rallies, and he says a shout-out to Jeffrey Lord, who's here tonight. Take us. Do you know that's coming? And how does it feel when Trump, in the middle of this entertainment, stops down and goes to you?
I don't know. By now, I've sort of gotten a little used to it, but I didn't know, and every single time he's come that I've been there, he's done it. And I just, suddenly all the lights swing on you, right? And so right. all you do is just stand there and wave. And by this point, particularly when he comes to Harrisburg, you know, these are local folks, right? So they're cheering me on as well.
Now, that's a high point. You got to put that on the resume.
Yeah.
Do you see Trump as a breakout figure now? 1 year, a little bit hard to tell, although we're on the cusp of the tax cut. By that, I mean the things that he's done, the economy, regulations and all, tremendous, but long-term impact. Now it has to be codified into law. I mean, Obama is still, we're learning more today that he allowed Hezbollah to deal cocaine in order to make the Iranian deal go through. The damage this man does, it is world class.
Right, exactly.
So does Trump have that kind of reach long-term?
I think he can. Absolutely, mm-hmm. I think he can. You know, I've made a career of studying presidents and this sort of thing. And the most controversial ones generally are the ones who have the most impact.
Mm-hmm.
And suffice to say, there's no loss of controversy with him. I mean, I think he's upending all kinds of things, which is precisely why so many people on the mm-hmm. left can't stand him. Because whether it's pulling out of the Paris Accords, or repealing the Obamacare tax mandate for healthcare, things of that nature, I think, really are going to have a long impact. And I thought I heard today that the economy was on course for 4% growth.
Yes.
And, you know, Obama could barely get it over 1 all 8 years.
And that was the new normal. We were told this is the way the world is because we exploited people before. Now we no longer exploit them. That's why we're not going to worldwide be the power.
I mean, this is just leftist camp, you know.
Yeah.
And it's bad for the country. It's negative thinking. Good Lord, if people ran their individual lives like this, they'd never get out of bed
anymore. That's the thing. There's a very positive quality, aside from the Pocahontas comments, et cetera. Who do the Democrats put the crystal ball on? Is there some mass figure out there that we don't know about now that will challenge Trump?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, so much attention is paid to Trump that people aren't paying attention to the fact that the Democratic Party really has a problem on its hands.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to put names and faces to it. In essence, the Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren wing versus the Clinton wing, the establishment.
Right.
And that's not going away.
Biden's strongest candidate
soon.
Against Trump?
He might be.
Mm-hmm.
He might be. But then again, he is of that establishment wing. And,
we're in the groping era, too.
Joe. Yeah.
So there's got to be a lot
touchy-feely
of. Touchy-feely Joe. There's a lot. I mean, it's legendary.
But, you know, it was interesting when we were here at the Democratic Convention when mm-hmm. I was with CNN. And I walked into the convention arena there to go up to the crow's nest thing there. And I don't think I was in there 2 minutes, and a woman recognized me, stopped me. She was a delegate from Indiana for Bernie Sanders, and she made it emphatically clear to me that hell would freeze over before she had anything to do with Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And, she was so intent, and I said to the CNN folks when I got up there, I said, you know, if there are a lot of people like that, she's got a real problem on her hands. Hillary Clinton's got a real problem on her hands. Turned out there were a lot of people.
Now, we
like
had
that.
An experience tonight, and I'll try to make it as obtuse as I can, of a woman who brought us some stuff and said, shh, I want to let you know I'm a big supporter of yours, Jeffrey, here, working here. We know these folks. They're great folks, and they sponsor us. But there's still that sense of being undercover if you're a conservative or maybe a Trump person out there.
Yeah, I am really amazed at the intolerance
mm-hmm.
here. I mean, elections come and go. I have enough gray hair now to remember my first.
Always have that big head of gray hair. Or at least that giant head of hair. Was it bigger in high school and college?
Oh, my God, in college.
I'm going to ask you that tonight. I admire the hair.
I have a big thing with hair. In college, it was much curlier.
Oh, okay.
And so I wanted to be like the fifth
Beatle. It's perfect punted hair.
But it wouldn't go down. It went out.
I think that's the reason you were on CNN, mainly. It's a perfect punted hair.
Van Jones was very envious. Let's put it that way.
Even Anderson Cooper was. So tell listeners where they find you now, Jeffrey.
The American Spectator, Conservative Review. I do some Skyping in for Newsmax. I'm working on a book proposal. And so I'm busy. There's no question about it. I do some speeches on occasion. So,
Well, we're honored that you're here tonight. You're in a long, proud tradition. Thank you so much. And, of course, people know the raw deal and the whole thing, too. It's abysmal. So let's hope somebody comes to their senses soon.
You'd be
perfect on CNN, on the MSNBC, with Lawrence O'Donnell. Brawl would break out in the first 30 seconds. All right, there's the great Jeffrey Lord here. We continue. We're going to talk with our folks from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia tonight about the Archbishop's Christmas party, which apparently is a year-long party. I just learned that out. That's what I've been told from the literature I have here. They may correct me. We'll see. Dominic, thanks for joining us. And we're also joined by Amy Stoner. Amy, your role, you run the Archbishop's Christmas party. And I'd say to you, well, come on, it's once a year. How big of a job is that? Do something else. But it's a year-long thing. It's a year-long party, so to speak. How does it work?
It's a year-long benefit. The culminating event is the party itself, which is this Thursday.
Okay.
But the appeal goes all year round now because the needs of the children that we serve are so great.
16,000 kids you've helped last year.
We serve over 16,000 children through various programs. Mm-hmm. So this appeal now runs year round, and we're helping children through the summer programs, back to school initiatives, and then the big appeal is at the Christmas time. But the culminating event is the party itself.
And you have about 550 children there.
We have 500.
They each get a present.
We have 550 children attending the party, and they represent at least 20 to 25 programs of children. And we will have about 550 children and another 100 adults attending the event.
And after we talk with you on the radio, you and Dominic here, we're going to do one of my favorite things. We have a big sandwich board check. You can't have enough sandwich board checks that we're going to give away to you guys as one of the beneficiaries this year. And we're happy to do that. This is a great event, great charity. And Dom, I see a letter here from a child that you work with, Nazir. You're a group leader at St. Gabriel's Out of School Time program, OST program, and he wrote, "Mr. Dominic never quits on you. Anytime you fall, he's there to pick you up and help you. It makes me feel confident, proud, and lucky. I think of him as my big brother, and I'm his little brother. We go well together. I was doing good, but now my whole life is one big dream." Nazir, out of school time participant, age 9. And you've become the godfather and also the confirmation sponsor for Nazir.
Yes, I have. Well, first, I might be 1900 block, but I was a King of Peace kid
before
the merger. So,
before the merger, that's right, yeah.
He became like my little brother. I met him my first summer working at St. Gabriel's.
St. Gabriel's is where?
29th and Tasker.
Oh, that's St. Gabriel's, because I know there's another big...
Yes,
wow,
yes.
You were working at St. Gabriel's. Now, these were historic enemies.
Exactly.
This is easy. The Arab-Israeli thing is over. We could do this. My God.
We can do that. We can
from
do
1900 Hollywood there. People in South Philly know what we mean, Dom. Yeah.
Italian and Irish, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So, we connected right off the bat. He was in my group, and I knew there was some backstory with him, and he just took a liking to me. I took an interest in him. Like you said, right in the thing, we go well together. He's my other half now. He's my little man. And I care a lot about
him. So what do you do exactly with the after-school program? Is it sports? Is it tutoring? What kinds of things do you do?
We do everything. So a normal day usually consists of the kids come in, they eat their snack.
Right.
We usually go into some homework help. So that was one of my big things with Nazir and his group when I had him as kindergarten and first graders.
Right.
It was a couple of stories ago. They were struggling with a little specific thing, spelling or math. So we helped them fine-tune them skills. And we took a bunch of the kids' test grades, looked at them, saw how much we could improve them. And we would give them a little reward at the end. We gave them a pizza party. And that was kind of how they got going there. And their scores flew up after that.
Well, that is tremendous stuff. Now, in the letter that's written to me, the letter that Archbishop Charles Chaput wrote, he says, "Dom, Nazir's experience illustrates just how special the program supported by the Archdiocese Benefit for Children, ABC, are, helping thousands of children and families throughout the year provided by Catholic Social Services." Amy, you're at more the 30,000-foot level. So if people know about this vaguely, but they want to contribute, they want to know more about it, where do they go?
One of the places they can go is directly to the website.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Archbishop's Benefit for Children. .org.
And What does their money do? What kinds of programs are we talking about? There's such a variety in the brochure I have. Give us two or three of the major programs.
Some of the major programs are our out-of-school time programs.
Mm-hmm.
We have 15 programs at 11 different sites, including elementary, middle school, and high school.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all located in inner-city neighborhoods. We are supporting children of refugee children that are coming over from war-torn countries.
Right.
We are supporting adolescents in our residential programs. We are supporting young children in our and families in our strengthening families programs.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many ways that what we raise throughout the year are directly benefiting the children that we serve.
Absolutely.
And there's so
right.
many programs, and 100% of what is donated to the Archbishop's Benefit for Children goes directly to those programs and services for children.
Well, Amy, thank you very much. We'll talk later here with you at the Feast of the Seven Fishes. And Dom, it's good to see another King of Peace guy who made good.
Absolutely.
Nice work with Nazir. This is a very moving letter, and certainly a kid who I think was being taken care of mainly by his grandmother.
Yes.
And no father figure there or anything like that, and you kind of fit in for him in a fun and different and interesting way. So thank you, guys. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having
and
us.
And again, give that website one more time, Amy.
It's www.archbishopsbenefitforchildren.org.
And the biggest thing of coming tonight, it gives me a chance to do one of my favorite things, pose with a giant sandwich board
awesome.
Check, which we'll do next. And we'll talk with our host, Brian Sheridan, coming up here at Sonesta at 18th and Market in downtown Philadelphia. And you'll see a picture of me with sandwich board checks. Remember, you can never have enough guys with no necks and sandwich board checks. That's one of the rules here on Talk Radio 1210. Our host tonight, though, is Brian Sheridan, who's director of operations here at the Sonesta Hotel. And Brian, I'm behind the scenes a lot, sitting here having my dinner before, because you can't eat during all this with so many people. And I was amazed at the staff, the precision, the stuff that you guys do. Listeners might be intrigued, though. There is a art theme throughout this entire hotel, which is rare. I was in the Hopper Room tonight, and these are all American artists.
That's correct. The whole hotel, our theme is art.
Right.
We have the art bar downstairs, our restaurant. Mm-hmm. We even have our own small art gallery in the lobby with artwork from Philadelphia artists. It's changed out about every 6 months or so. All our meeting
why
rooms.
Why did you do the art theme?
Well,
what are you trying to do?
You know, every hotel, you know, is out there. You have your Flag, your Hilton.
Right.
Everybody gives you a nice room, and
right.
everything's terrific. But you need to do something that kind of distinguishes you from
right.
your counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonesta is a brand that's not known as well. So that we make a point of doing certain things to make ourselves stand out. And basing our theme of our hotel on art, we felt was the way to go, and especially American artists.
It was a good move, and there is that kind of avant-garde. Georgia
O'Keeffe.
Yeah, the room here. Wyeth, of course, and people like that. So it's an added thing of enjoyment when people come here.
Well, especially a lot of our meeting guests. You, know, you mm-hmm. go into most meeting rooms at a hotel, and they're kind of boring.
Right.
There are four blank walls. Well, if you go into our Warhol room, there are Andy Warhol prints.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into our Rockwell boardroom, there's Norman Rockwell prints. And there's a lot of pictures that I see in the hotel that, very honestly, I didn't know who the artists were until I came here, and I was like, oh, that's
yeah.
who painted
no,
that.
No, it is an added. It just had, talk about the art bar, too. And you've had Bruce Chris Steaks here. We ate there one of the opening nights. It's been a great addition, I'm sure, to everything else the hotel offers.
Well, Ruth Chris has been a terrific addition to the hotel. Mm-hmm. It gives our guests a real first-class establishment to have dinner in.
Mm-hmm.
Great steaks, wonderful atmosphere. It was a terrific move that they made from South Broad Street over to here. And our guests really loved it. I guess it was that came on in 2016, right before the convention,
right.
actually. And they've done very well ever since, and it's been great for the hotel because it gives the hotel another, our guests another benefit or perk to staying here is a quality dining location. Now we have our own restaurant, the Art Bar, and that's more of a light, little light bites, signature cocktails. it's not really. It's more if you're just looking at a little bit something neat, maybe coming back from being out. You just want to grab a little snack after you've gone out for the show or something.
What about groups coming here? What kinds of things do you offer them? People listening right now that might be taking a look at this for any number of reasons. How big does a group have to be? What are we dealing with when you're dealing with groups?
With a group, you can do of any size.
Mm-hmm.
A group can be 10 people.
Okay.
A group can be 250 people. We basically, any size group, whatever your needs are, we can take care of it. We have top flight banquet staff and catering team, sales managers. Our banquet service staff here are all longtime employees who really know what the guests are looking for. They have a real keen interest in our guests. We do small little meetings. We do big pharmaceutical meetings. We do social events. We do all corporate events. We can really do anything for anybody. We have the right setup for it. If you're looking for a tiny little meeting or you're looking for something much larger, we can take care of that for you.
How is the hotel business in Philadelphia right now? I remember with the Pope, it seemed like a lot of hotel rooms were signed up and then some not. But it does put Philadelphia on the map that people know about it. And particularly a place like this, it's close to Rittenhouse Square, business travelers and all that. How's hotel business right now?
Well, the business is doing pretty well. I mean, our occupancy, we had a very strong occupancy this year.
Right.
And the hotel, the city hotels in general did. I mean, our summer, of course, this past summer compared to 2016 wasn't the same thing. We had the DNC convention, plus we had two other citywides.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for a good year in 2018. 2017 was a very strong year. We're happy with the results. It's almost coming to an end. New Year's Eve is the next big thing. We do expect to sell out. Every hotel in the city will sell out. That's a real change for Philadelphia. I grew up here. New Year's Eve years ago was nothing in Philadelphia. New Year's Day was.
Yeah, what's the attraction?
Well, I think the city decided that you had to do things to make things fun. You had to do things to get people to come in and want to be here. I mean, fireworks on New Year's Eve, that didn't exist years ago. You have that now. The Christmas Village downtown, and then also City Hall, you have the local Philadelphia Village. My son's been away. He just came back today. He's in the service. And he, every time he comes back to the city, he was born and raised here, went to school here, he says how much the city's improving. I mean, all the areas are being built up. JFK Plaza, Love Park has been redone. And, I sent him over there. He came home today, and he went over there because I told him about things that are going on. He brought his girlfriend in with him, and she's really impressed. I mean, the city is a really impressive place nowadays. I mean, still have a lot of work to do, but for the hotel business, it's been terrific.
Good to hear. So where do people find you guys on the web?
Well, you would go to www.sinesta.com.
Very good.
Philadelphia.
Well, thanks for hosting us again tonight. This is the third time we've been here with you guys, and every year we tweak it, it gets a lot better. This is just a fabulous location for us. It fits beautifully.
Well,
Brian, Merry Christmas, and thank you. Thanks for having us.
Same to you.
Say hello to Jordan, who's sick tonight, can't be with us.
I definitely will.
We'll catch up with him down the road. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
All righty, folks. That's our look with some of our guests at what's happening here at the 9th Annual Feast of the Summer Fish, Seven Fishes. And again, it is an annual event that is our spectacular. And Jeffrey Lord is our honored guest this year. I do hope that when you we play you a little bit tomorrow, Bobby Hill was entertaining tonight singing Ave Maria. It's the type of thing that you want to come out. And the biggest thing is meet fellow listeners. Get a sense of people that support the same good things that you do each and every day. That's what it's about here. Now, tonight, we're going to revisit, for example, if you remember back, one of my colleagues here was not a fan, but that's okay. I was, honestly. I know we did it ad nauseum, maybe, at WWDB, the Feast of the Seven, Cup of Christmas Tea. We're going to dust that off tonight. I'll be doing my rendition of it, and Bobby Hill will close tonight singing Ave Maria. This is the kid who sang for the Pope at the age of 14, so each year, we try to add a little something to this, and Jeffrey Lord has just been a spectacular honored guest tonight, meeting and greeting people here at the Fishes, and just the type of caliber of person we try to bring every year. Now, I'll bring you some of that sound tomorrow, and tomorrow a big day with the tax cut and all the things that go into it. This has been a banner year for Talk Radio 1210. This is our 11th big event of the year, and we have brought in people like Laura Ingraham, Bill O'Reilly, Eric Boeing, Brian Kilmeade, Brad Thor, John Kasich. How did he get in there? I remember the event with Kasich very, very well. Jesse Waters. It has been a fabulous year. So thank you so much for being part of it and making that. And do try to figure next year, the Feast of the Seven Fishes, it's always around the 16th, 17th, 18th. It's the Monday before whenever Christmas happens to fall, that you'll come out and be part of it. You really are missing something, particularly meeting the folks who make this happen. So also consider the Archdiocese. I was unaware that their Christmas party is the type of thing that goes on all year long, that the Christmas party represents reaching 16,000 kids throughout the year. They're doing really good work with that, tremendous work, in fact. And tomorrow I'll bring you a little bit more of the sights and sounds of the type of thing that we do here. Of course, we'll have the regular show all week long from 9 until noon in addition to that. And in addition to that, for all things Dom, go to CBSPhilly.com and we'll continue 9 until noon each day with you. Alrighty, coming up, I'm not exactly sure what's next here on Talk Radio 1210. I guess Sean Hannity will continue. But thanks for listening tonight, and thanks for supporting the 9th annual. Next year for the 10th annual, we have to do something special, tremendously special, a decade of the feast, which has grown just out of listeners and a guy like Joe Bag of Donuts and some others who nurtured this along to the fabulous night it is every year, like this year. All righty, Sean Hannity next to catch up on all the news of the day. Jim Kelly, thanks for producing. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.